Well, you know, we're going to keep, I mean, this is going to be pretty informal because it's, it should be that way anyway, really, as far as I'm concerned. But one thing that I like to do is I like to show movie clips because I just think it helps, you know, make a point in a different way.
Just because you're watching all those movies.
This is true too, which is why I can't tell you where this movie's from. It's a secret. But actually, well, I was watching this movie for the first time, and this is the very opening line of the movie. And when I saw this, the first thing I thought about was, this is The Fellowship. And this guy's a little strange, and it's a little weird how he communicates it, but he just makes a statement. It's only like a minute long. But I really thought about The Fellowship in this way, and I'll just push play and let you watch it.
Our world has perhaps faced no greater threat than it does today. But I say this to our citizenry. We, ever your servants, will continue to defend your liberty and repel the forces that seek to take it from you. Your ministry remains strong.
So that's it. Maybe that's even like a 30-second clip. I really like that a lot because I felt like as we begin to kind of morph into what we're supposed to be doing moving forward, I thought that's a great little clip because whether we all know it or not, that's exactly what we're doing. She knows what movie it is. But really, seriously, I mean, trying to repel the forces of darkness to protect the liberties. And that's exactly what we're doing. And the Fellowship, I believe, has always been called to do that. And we all in this room, not bragging or prideful, but honestly, the people in this room right here know more and operate in more than a lot of other Christians do. And because of that, I think we have a lot of responsibility to that. Not obligation, I mean, we do to a certain degree, but it's more of an act of love to help other people understand what we understand. And, you know, he says it that way, but I would say that in Luke 4:18, Jesus is speaking. He says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And in Luke 10, he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Go, I am sending you out like lambs among wolves." And I think that's those two verses sum up exactly what we're going to be talking about these next four sessions. And I would say, again, just to kind of play off this quote a little bit, the state of the ministry of the Fellowship is very, very strong. I know Jay and Ray are in men's fraternity every Friday morning, and because I help lead that program along with two other guys, those guys tell me, and if it wasn't for the Fellowship, we wouldn't even be able to have the program because so many men responded. And not only that, but the contribution that they make in their small group is above average. And again, I want to make sure you hear me right on that. It's not that you know more biblically or scripturally, you know the rules and the regulations. It's much more to do with the heart. I think that's so that differential is critical as far as I'm concerned. And you know, if we look at the definition of what a minister or a servant is, this is what the definition, one of the definitions that I found I thought was really good. A person serving as an agent for another by carrying out specified orders or functions. And we definitely have a lot to offer in this role. And this is what today what we're going to be talking about is much more of our individual role and what we will be able to play. And when Daryl's right, it gets warm in here, doesn't it?
It does.
I wonder if we can open those windows, Ray. You think you could crack that? I mean, that didn't take long at all. crack that door, maybe it'll.
Just like we can hear you through the mic this one, because we have a good hear what you say.
Yeah. But you can hear it, yeah. You can. Yeah, it's a little. It can be a little distracting. I think, and this was true for the last class we did, and I definitely know this will be true today. And I'll go through in a second the summary of the four classes we're going to be going through, but when Carol Hechinger just shared, and I honestly believe that's something that will begin to happen for most everybody as we begin to press into what we're supposed to be doing and what we're called to do. And we're going to start seeing some advancement of things happen. And I believe there's a direct correlation between the ministry that happens in each one of our lives to it happens and it begins to spill over in other areas. And I'm really excited about that. If you want to, nobody has to do it. It's not a requirement or anything, but there will be some things, and this happened last class without me really fully thinking about this, but I wanted to mention it here. If you can, it's not a big deal today, but bring a notepad or something to write some notes on, only because, not because it's a class in the traditional setting, but there's going to be some things that I say that's going to hit. He'll be like, now that's for me. So I really want that to, that's the only reason why I say bring a notepad or bring a pen, because I think you're going to see some, there are going to be some things in here that will strongly resonate, and I want you to write it down and take it and bathe it in prayer and ask the Lord what to do with that. So the next four sessions that we've got together, the first one today, which is Who Are You? We're going to spend some time talking about the fact that we were designed to play an important role that only you can play. I mean, only Elaine can play the role that she plays because she was created that way. And I could go down a list. Every person in this room is exactly the same way. There are some things that each one of you are supposed to do that I can't do, or each one of you can't do for each other. Only you can do it. And I think God created it that way. And I think if you know that and you operate that way, you'll see some big change. And to have that confidence in the fact that He loves you and created you that way, just again, moving forward in that direction changes some things. Class two, next week, we're going to talk about ministering to your family. Taking that same uniqueness that God created for you and using it in your own family. Many times in the busyness of life, we tend to neglect those closest to us. If you're married, it could be your spouse or children if you have children. If you're single, it could be your parents, siblings, or closest relatives such as cousins or nieces and nephews. If you're under the age of 16, which we don't have anybody here, we did last class, it could be a lot of times siblings or another close family member. Recognizing these opportunities in your own household are very key. And oftentimes, it will have the most impact. I mean, I can tell you, time and time again, where I know where if I've overheard someone talking about a conflict they're having with their wife or husband or whatever, and as they begin to work through it and something changes, the coworkers, so the people who work with them or people in their circle see something different. And again, you're having an impact on somebody just by working through your own situation. And then I think we miss that a lot. It doesn't get celebrated very often. In fact, I would say the institutional church has really missed this big time. I mean, dropped it badly. Somehow they've created a culture where it's just great to learn intellectual information. You get a good sermon, but it better be over by 12 because K&W is going to be packed. I mean, I kind of say that half jokingly, but even I noticed some of the younger, more contemporary churches that are more, I guess, hip and, you know, cool, and they do a great job. They're drawing a big crowd. They got good sermon. Stuff's happening. This element's missing still, and I don't think it's ever been as bad as it is today. Just using marriage as an example to see what's happening there and how the divorce rate's worse than it's ever been. God never intended it to be this way. And we want to make sure that we really touch on this and press into this too and not leave this alone, because it's really very important. And again, as you, I think the parable of the talents kind of speaks to this somewhat. You know, God gives us responsibility with things, and as we are true to those things and as we operate and using His strength and His power to get into those situations with what we've been given first, which tends to be our family, you know, then you're entrusted with more. And that's why I honestly believe that you'll see breakthrough happen, and it spills over into other areas. Class 3, the third week, is going to be using yourself and the gifts that you've been given to recognize opportunities where you spend most of your time. And a lot of times this could be a daily routine, could be work, could be your neighborhood. It could be, you know, for the younger ones, it could be in school. If they're students, of course, talking to the teacher, so she goes to school too. Or it'd be the same people you run into on a constant basis. Just something that we're going to focus on in that particular class and talk about what that looks like and how ministry happens in that setting. And then the last class, we're going to talk to ministry to people that you don't know. I actually gave Teresa's example when you were at the getting your oil changed or something. Is it you're getting your oil changed or your Dippy Lube? You may never see that lady ever again. I mean, and those things are going to happen on a regular basis as we're mindful of them and we recognize the opportunity to be there. A lot of times those are at the grocery store. If you go to the same grocery store, you see some of the same people sometimes. Restaurants, parks, the gym. Daryl said it many times, we're always on assignment, and at any given time, we can be called in to step into a situation. Sometimes we find ourselves involved in a location for a short time. I use Alan Hilda as an example. They were there at that same place for 21 days straight. But they may never see those people that they saw ever again. But while they were there, they stepped into it and ministered to people. And I actually called Hilda up, and she shared the story in a little more detail about that Amish lady that she prayed for. I'm going to close this door now. It's cooling down a little bit. A little chilly. Maybe that'll keep the flow from coming out. So anyway, that's where we're going to... Those are the, kind of a summary of the last four of the next four sessions. Any questions or any thoughts or anything before we dive in? Because this is definitely going to be informal. So anybody can jump in and ask questions if you want to. So let's dive into today real quick. Today, again, we're going to focus on getting a better understanding of who you are in the Lord, how you can be encouraged to operate daily in your place for Him, and viewing all of life's experiences as teachable moments for you to gain freedom and then be able to share that victory with others. You were designed for an important role. Again, we talk about this, that only you can play. I think that's, again, a little missing element. I remember thinking many times that Billy Graham, I remember actually when I was in college, I had this horrible professor that was, he was atheist, and he was very antagonistic towards Christianity. And he was, this guy was really sharp. I think he had his doctorate, and every time I would try to argue with him, he'd shoot me down. And on top of that, all the other students would make fun of me for even trying. And so I would beg Daryl, can you please come talk to this guy? Can you please talk to this guy? I'll never forget what he told me. I was a junior in college. And he said, no, you do it. I was like, I can't. I can't argue with this guy. He recognized this. You know, only I am in that class. I'm the one that interacts with him. And of course, I didn't know that at the time. But if I understood what I understood now, you know, I'd be asking the Lord, what can I do to make a difference in this man's life? We heard a couple testimonies today about Layla praying for your enemies. Chris, you know, seeing a coworker that just pisses him off all the time, and he wants to, you know, just not deal with her very well, but the Lord changed his heart. And, you know, in that time, you know, again, I've been raised in the church, and the only people that could ever do stuff like would be the minister. We were just simply lay people, you know, which I hate that term, honestly. But just to further drill into the fact that each one of us is unique and God designed it that way. I'd never heard this before. Maybe some of you have, but there's 18 million snowflakes in 1 cubic foot of snow. Has anybody ever heard of this before? And not one snowflake is the same. 18 million snowflakes. That's right. I never heard of that before. 18 million snowflakes in 1 cubic foot, and not one is the same as another. They're all different.
And some are bigger than others.
Yeah. It was a scientific study that somebody put together. I don't know how they figured that out. But again, of course, in addition to that, of all the billions of people in the world, there's not a single one, nor will there ever be, anyone like you. I mean, science has even proven that. I mean, DNA cannot be duplicated. Your fingerprint, of course, is exactly the same way. There was, and this is interesting to me that all this stuff is, you know, scientific and even somewhat secular, but we know where it's rooted from. But there is a program called StrengthsFinder. Has anybody ever heard of this, StrengthsFinder? It fascinates me. But the Gallup organization, does that ring a bell? They do a lot of the polls, the Gallup polling, you know, whatever. They, along with this, and I wish I had his name, but I don't have his name in front of me, but this guy who was known for his behavioral science background, studying people, and a lot of Fortune 500 companies used him. And, of course, a lot of people use the Gallup organization to do data testing to determine, you know, for example, Kellogg's might use them to find out, well, who's the demographic we need to push cornflakes to, you know, that kind of thing. And these guys have been, I mean, they're very, very, very sharp. And they referenced and been studying something for literally 50 years worth of observation. They created an entire business system of this, and it's called StrengthsFinder. It's very fascinating, very worth your $20 to get a book. But in their research, in a particular program they designed, they determined that each and every person may have some of the same characteristics, some of the same strengths, which is... All right. Can't beat that. That's pretty good. Yeah. Someone's trying to get in. But this book says that even though some people may have some of the same strengths and some of the same characteristics, the chances of two people testing the same way in this particular personality, for lack of a better word, a strength test, were virtually impossible. And did anybody have... Can I see your Bible there? I left mine at the house. Psalm 139... Well, what I find interesting with this StrengthsFinder, this book has become a New York Times bestseller. And what it is, you get the book, and the book explains this research, and it goes on to talk about how businesses are using this information to make a difference with their employees. And in the book, you get a code. You go online to the StrengthsFinder.com, you type in the code, and it gives you, lets you take this online test. And it spits out like a 40-page assessment of you. And again, it's pretty neat because only, you know, again, we could all take it in this room. We all may share some of the same characteristics. The difference in the order of how the primary to the secondary is amazing. It's a really neat deal, but what I find fascinating about this is that businesses and corporations and Fortune 500 companies are spending millions and billions of dollars to be able to share this kind of information with their leadership, their present CEOs, their executive staff, their employees, with the hopes to make a difference. And I just find it fascinating that that's the case, but they lack who created it. And so as a result, it doesn't stick. And they're surprised. And so what they do is they go on to the next thing. Well, when I worked at Principal Financial Group, which is a Fortune 500 company, I was a manager for about 3 years. And we would go out and meet in different parts of the country as a company. So, I mean, from all over the country, we all go and meet this one place. Usually it's in the middle of the country like Nebraska or, you know, Kansas City or something. And so we'd all go there, and they would roll out these programs, basically. You know, here's how we're strengthening the morale of employees, and here's what we're... And servant leadership. This, again, I mean, who demonstrated servant leadership better than anybody other than Jesus? He was the master. He created it. He was the best. And they never do. They never say that, of course. All they do is they talk about how it really goes over real well with people when you do this and you act this way. And, of course, if you don't have the root of it, you can't maintain it. And so then it just fizzles. And here we go again. It's amazing. Psalm 139, 13 and 14. David speaking to the Lord, "You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed." Actually, that's 13 through 16. And it goes on and on. Actually, you already got it highlighted. So, you know, again, I think we miss this a lot. The other thing that I think is important to consider is, why don't we understand this or feel this way a lot? I think a lot of it has to do with our educational system as well. If you think about it, you know, pretty much from pre-K all the way through college is all about carnal. Not necessarily sinful. It's just it teaches you to really focus on what you, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, and it can never equal anything other than that. You know, you only know what you're being taught, and you can't know beyond that. And so we're trained to only follow a pattern of life that doesn't necessarily reflect this. And so we go not really, and this was true for me, I think most of my life I spent trying to be somebody I wasn't because I didn't know what else to do. I mean, I didn't know what else to, all I was doing was what I felt like I should do. You know, get good grades, or at least I tried to. I didn't always do that. Try to get good grades, you know, do a good job on your test, go get a good job, make some money, and, you know, that kind of thing. And unfortunately, I didn't really understand this, and I wish I had. I think a lot of things would have been different had I done this. So again, you know, why do we even bring this up? I think it's just important that we believe the fact that God created us individually. And the quicker that we can grasp it, the fact that I think we'll be able to operate more confidently. And here's the thing I think that we've seen happen from this. As you begin to operate this way and you have more confidence, everything changes and you don't even have to try. As you begin to operate and move in this way, as you begin to understand your uniqueness and what God has done for you and why He's built you the way He has, you know, I think stuff just begins to happen. He's not here, so I can pick on him, but Bob George, you know, for those, many of you all have known him for a long time. I haven't really known him very well until the last couple of years, but, you know, he shared with me sometimes that he doesn't always, he knows that he does good, but he doesn't know that he actually ministers and has felt like maybe he hasn't, you know, done that. And he would tell me a story about being on the golf course and that some young kid was being a jerk, like 23, 24 years old. And he said, "Brad, this guy is so sharp. And but he just can't get his act together." He said, "Everybody knows it, but nobody's willing to say anything to him about it." And he said, "I had an opportunity one day in the clubhouse. I just pulled him aside." And he said, "I told him exactly how it is." And, you know, if for those that know Bob, he can be a little gruff with it and a little point blank direct and a little, slap you upside the head with a 2x4 kind of thing. This kid acted like, I've been needing this my whole life. Thank you. So, I mean, you know, he was, and every time Bob sees this guy, he just runs up to Bob and wants to talk to him. You know, so, and it's just a shame that, you know, Bob is wired that way to some degree. And Bob, if he understood this, I think he does more now than he ever has. He can operate that way and feel good about it and not feel like he's not. And I've really tried to encourage him. I think every time he's spoken into someone's life, even though it's been a little gruff and direct, I mean, it's exactly what that person needed at the time.
And he was obviously, he cared about it. I mean, he cared enough to take him aside and impart some things into him.
Exactly.
I mean,
yeah.
How many people could have done that same thing, but they didn't care enough to do it?
That's right.
That's what ministry is all about, is loving people.
That's right.
And letting God love people through us.
Yeah.
And that's great example of ministry.
It really is. I told him that. I said, man, Bob, you're ministering out there on that golf course.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just... And, you know, I think the neat thing is that, you know, I think as you're out and about, you know, God moves on your heart, like you said, to say something to somebody. But the way I would say it to that guy would not be the way Bob would say it. And if I would have said it, I mean, I'm not saying that he still could have responded, but Bob, you know, pretty much took him upside the head with 2x4. I might have took him aside and said, you know, let me point out some things. You know, it may not have worked out as well because I'd handle things a little differently. But at that moment in that time, I went on that golf course. And I mean, and he was. And all the people around him, for whatever reason, God prompted him to say something to this guy. And I think in the future, because I really encouraged him, I think he'll see other opportunities. They'll be more aware of those. I mean, I really believe that. I remember another quick story. There was I took a friend of mine to lunch, and there was a guy working in the sandwich place at Jam's Deli, and there was a young kid that for some reason he'd really been kind of just drawn to me. I knew his older brother pretty well, but this guy I didn't have much contact with. And we played basketball a lot. And he was the worst trash talker anybody ever dealt with. This guy was so annoying on the court that nobody ever wanted to play with him. And I remember I joined the city league and we needed some height, and this guy was really, really tall. So I went up to him and I pulled him aside and I said, his name was Alan. I said, Alan, okay, I'm going to invite you to play with me on this team. But I've been invited by some people to play on this team. I don't really know these people. You cannot talk that way on that court. So I'm just telling you. And, of course, I thought nothing of this. I was just saying I didn't want to be embarrassed. So I just said, look, you cannot act the way you normally act. I know that's kind of what you like to do. It's kind of fun and everything. But this won't go over very well here. And I said, you've been invited as a guest to come play. And ever since, this guy just, you know, nobody's ever said anything to him like that before. And I never have understood that until recently. So it's anyway, very, very interesting. I think I remember, some of you may remember me telling the story again, trying to mimic somebody that I respected from a perspective of Christianity, and that'd be Billy Graham. And I remember listening to him one day. I guess I'd already graduated college, was in the working world. And I had one of my friends who we've been close since primary school, but we kind of reconnected. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years. And, I mean, we're having breakfast one morning, and he's like, you know, I just don't really feel like, I think there's going to be more to life than this. And I know he wasn't a believer, and I'm thinking, oh, my God, this is like something Billy Graham would say, you know, somebody come up to him and saying something like this, you know. And I remember saying, really? And he goes, yeah. So, well, tell me more about that. And he would say, you know, I just feel like there's something missing. You know, of course, there's that, the alarms are going off. I'm thinking, this is that when there's a void in your heart kind of deal, you know, and only God can fill that one hole. And you know, just like you hear a lot of that. If you've been raised in church, you've heard that a lot. And so the more this guy talked, it's like, this is a layup. I mean, I'm going to get this guy in the kingdom in a heartbeat. And we met two or three more times, and he said, and this was unprompted, he said, you know, yesterday I went to church. I said, my God, you did. I said, well, how was he? He goes, Wasn't that great? And it was some, you know,
dead church.
Thank you. I didn't want to say it. So anyway, so I explained to him a little bit about salvation. Again, mimicking what I'd heard from other things. And I said, you know, are you ready to receive the Lord and ask Him into your heart? And he said, no. What? I've never heard this happen before. I mean, I've only heard the success story. You got to be kidding me. You can't beat this kind of opportunity. And, you know, and honestly, I never thought about that, but I have never heard what happens when someone says no. So I was like, what? I said, why? He says, I don't want to give up control. It was interesting. Yeah, he was honest. I really liked that a lot. I mean, at least, and that began to make me further understand and better understand the fact that this is why we're all on an individual journey. And of course, the scripture talks about how some of us plant seeds, some of us water, but God gives increase. And this is where, you know, I felt like my role for him was to plant the seed and to water it along the way. And again, just a couple of quick things. Talking about individuality and the things that mean a lot to you. I picked on Tanya Greason as an example. And I could go down I could easily pick something about each one of you guys here, but she was making eye contact with me first week I did this. But, you know, she's known to write notes to people, you know? And, you know, the Lord will prompt her. I don't know that she would even say it this way until maybe she came to the fellowship, but the Lord would say, write Ricky a note, thanking her for something or that she noticed something about, you know. And that's a ministry. That's tremendous. I mean, he's using that uniqueness in Tanya to write a note. But, you know, I don't think many of people like her would feel that way. They feel, again, well, I'm not out there, you know, bringing people in and winning souls, you know, that kind of stuff. They just feel like, again, the church hasn't really celebrated that aspect of that. So I feel that that's kind of...
I mentioned another
yeah, yeah.
Out, and she'll tell you that. She has a ministry of giving hugs.
Wow.
Really feels that God has told her that is one of her ministries, is giving hugs. And she does that wherever. She'll be in the grocery store, she'll be at Walmart, she'll be at the library. And she'll see somebody that just seems alone and needs a hug, needs somebody to reach out to them. And she does that all the time, and it really ministers to people.
Yeah.
I mean, I got cold chills thinking about it. That's very simple.
Yeah.
But it's a ministry.
That's right, but it's not very rarely celebrated.
I heard a minister once say this. She said that it's been proven that every human being, in order to stay emotionally and mentally healthy, needs at least 9 hugs a day. And trust me, lots of people don't get anywhere near that. I'm single. I live alone. I don't get anywhere near that. You know? I'm sure there's a lot of married couples that live together and don't get anywhere near that. But
yeah,
we need it.
That's right.
To thrive and survive.
But it has never celebrated or never talked about. Is all very often it's about look. In fact, one of the larger churches in Greensboro, who's more of an up and coming church, that pastor has made no bones about the fact to say, "Hey, don't worry about how you talk to them. Just get them in the church. I'll take care of that." Again, further than that feeling that you don't really know what to do or how to do that, bring them in. I know he didn't mean it that way, and he probably might challenge me a little bit on that. But most of the people that I know that go there say that the goal is to get him there and he will handle bringing him to the Lord, which is unfortunate. Any other thoughts?
I was thinking about when you were talking about God and how he had the time to talk to that God, that when the Lord prompts us to do something, he has to get a favor with that person.
Yeah.
You know, that he's working on both ends of it. Yeah. And so I feel, because I'm kind of like Bob with my students, that I'll just pull them aside and be like, look, you know, they've gotten so much of that you can do anything and be anything and positive self-esteem that they really are drawn to somebody saying, okay, this is an issue that you need to work on. But like I said, that God gives you the favor to to speak to them and for them to hear it. If he's working on both ends of it, and that you can step into it boldly, knowing that if God's calling you to do it, he's preparing their heart to hear it.
Absolutely right. 100%. That's why
we're studying John this year. That calling is the Holy Spirit that makes these things happen.
Yeah. That's awesome. I don't know. I mean, I guess y'all know why I'm walking up to you, because did Daryl explain? Okay.
I just thought you were
interested. I am, of course.
I think that one of the ministries that I have is being able to recognize when people are under demonic torment. You know, because I lived so many years of my adult life not really understanding about Satan and that demons were active and that they could come against you and things like that. And I really was in torment. And so now when I see someone that I know is in torment, and chances are they are not acknowledging, you know, that there's satanic stuff going on, my heart just goes out to them, because, I mean, I can't think of anything worse than being under demonic torment and you don't even know who your enemy is.
That's right.
I mean, you're helpless. You know?
That's right.
So I find that I have to pray for people a lot about spiritual warfare.
Right.
That happens to me a lot, where I have to address that with people.
Yeah.
I don't always call it demons.
Right.
You know, but I say as much as I feel led to say.
Yeah.
You know?
And, I think all this is 100% true. I remember, I think I may have shared this story, but I went to, was it Panera the other day, and I was in line, and I turned around for whatever reason. The guy I was with was in front of me, but I turned around, and this older guy was there, and he had a bunch of magazines, like train magazines. He probably looked to be about probably 70 years old or so, and I just turned, and somehow... Oh, I know. Another cashier opened up. So I was like, you go ahead. He goes, oh, no, I'm retired. I'm good to go here, you know. So, and then he just started talking to me. I mean, it was just like, we just had a connection. It was very strange. And I looked into his eyes. And when I looked into his eyes, I knew that something was happening. He didn't understand it. I knew I could gather kind of some things that were happening for us, you know, as far as me having an opportunity. But when I looked into his eyes, and I knew that this was a gifting that I had, and I could step into it, it just something magical took place. And it's the only time this has ever happened where I really wasn't able to really follow up with the guy, because we just started talking, and he said, "Yeah, I'm retired, and I got these magazines I'm looking at," and anyway. We kind of separated, and I was meeting with somebody, so we had to go somewhere. But the guy sat close to me, and when I got done eating, I just went over to the guy, put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, "Man, I hope you have a great day today." And he just looked at me like, "Hey, where are you going?" And he didn't ask me this, but his eyes were saying, "Will you sit down and join me for a little bit?" But I had to go to another meeting. But you know, I never again. That's a planted seed. You know, nothing significant happened as far as what we would normally say, but something happened there. And if anything, it helped me that I could, you know, just that looking into his eyes, and I was able to draw out something that he didn't understand what in the heck was going on. But it was neat. Yeah.
I think I have an unusual gifting in the fact that I like to walk up and talk to people that I've never seen or known before, and just talk to them like I've known them all my life. And since most of my service is at home with my dogs, they minister to me more than I minister to them, but it's in the grocery store.
Yeah.
It is one place I go every week.
That's right.
So the Lord has put it on my heart to say something nice to the cashier every time I go, no matter what store it's in. And it's really amazing. Sometimes he'll bring, I think, "Well, Lord, for me, I'll say to this lady." And I'll say, "Well, your hair looks nice today."
Right.
Or ask him what time they got off. And I've gotten to know one guy in Food Line who shared with me that he was cooking. I had something in my basket, And he said, is this good? And I said, yes, it is. And I was going on about it, you know. He says, well, I'm cooking Chinese tonight. He shared how he and his dad were going to do it. So the next time I was in there, I made a point of asking him how his meal went. And he went on and on. In fact, we've done it again, and this time my mom helped and so forth. And so I was in there the other day, and I had some big dog food things and stuff, so I asked him if he'd help me to the car, and he said yes. And so I said, well, have you been cooking anymore? And he looked like he could not believe I remembered all of that. And the cashier that day was a lady, and she, you know, they've got to hear so many negative stuff with people going through that line. They want in, they want out. And I've seen that expression on people's faces when I go in. They're just like, you know, and I'm just glad to be outside around people. And so this lady, I just started talking to her, and she started having the sweetest smile. And I had a lot of stuff. And so this lady behind me only had hamburger and an onion. And she had a mask on. And she really looked sick. And I said, you need to go ahead and let this lady go in front of me. I said, I have time. It's fine. And the lady said, no, I can't do that. I said, yes, you can. I said, just let her in front of me. She's just got two things. So the lady thanked me when she left. She said, God bless you. The cashier, and I said, man, she looked like she had some kind of bad disease. And she just left. Well, I appreciate you getting her out of the store.
Oh, God.
She was going to be off. I said, you have a nice day. And I said, I'll be praying for you and your ship. And I always like to tell them that.
Yeah.
If they share anything with me, I'll make a point of telling them that I'll pray for them. And then when I see them again, I'll, you know, tell them I'll pray for them. And Dole does the same thing with people. He's forever seeing somebody. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But not everybody will do that.
No, they won't. I mean, along the same lines, I know, and again, I would ask each one of you to think about this for your own self. I mean, I think most of in this room already have an idea, which I think is great. But, you know, Ricky and I share something in common in that we have this very genuine, authentic, not that anybody else doesn't, but I just know specifically we do. We can ask, and we have a very authentic and genuine interest in other people's lives. And so we can get away with asking some pretty crazy questions, and we'll get answers from people that we've never met before. And, you know, we can get into a conversation, and this happens to me fairly often when there's openness there. But a lot of times, you know, because I'm a pretty transparent person, you know, talking about my marriage or my relationship with my kids or my work and my business and struggles that I've had in that area, you know, that gets reciprocated. Like Tanya was saying, you know, the Lord's giving you that favor when you operate into it. It's tremendous. I mean, it really is. And they know you're not out there to take advantage of them, and because they feel that genuine fact that you care, you know, that's very, very, very special.
Well, part of it is I just like to mess with people. I get reactions, you know. Yeah. And well, you show me, you know, right now that's your ministry, but, you know, you don't go anywhere or do anything. You know?
And then, you know, there's some people that, you know, because I'm naturally that way, there's some people, especially clients, where I have a lot of opportunity to speak to a lot of people in my work, and, you know, some are not, they don't dig it. I mean, they're not interested, and I've learned to keep my mouth shut. Versus trying to, and I mean, the Lord tells me, you know, don't go there with them on this. They're not going to receive that very well. Someone else would have an opportunity to do that. So, the next part of this, before we get into some activations, I think knowing the opportunity and knowing what, like, I mean, again, I can go all around the room, but just thinking about Dole too, how, you know, you've told me about popping in on your buddy, what's the guy that we know to get? Scott? I mean, you know, Dole sometimes will just pop in and see people just for the heck of it. I mean, I couldn't get away with that for some people. He can, you know, because...
He can. He's late for dinner.
But this is another good point. You know, understanding each other's gifts and knowing what he's doing is making a difference. But I see that in him, too. But how we make the most of this role will depend on us. Our effectiveness in our ministry is tied to a couple things. One is the level of eagerness to engage your unique ministry will translate into the level of impact you'll have. As you begin to fully embrace it, this your unique ministry, and spend time with the one God who created you this way, and expect Him to show you more specifically what you're to do, you'll continue to grow in your ministry and your impact will be tremendous. And one point here that I also feel like the institutional church has kind of dropped the ball a little bit on, and that is understand that we have a role to play and that we have a role to step into. I hear a lot of Christians say, well, if God wants me to speak to that person, He'll make a way. And I'm not saying that's not possible, but many, many times, if you don't go there, it won't happen. God's not going to come pick you up and put you in front of that person. Sometimes He does tend to navigate it so that you can't help but cross paths, and that's happened to me, and we can all probably think of stories about that. But very often, He's asking you to step in. That's what faith's all about, for you to step in. Because if you don't do it, it's not going to happen. I know they can get into a little bit of doctrine and potentially and some theology, but, you know, whereas some people say, you know, we don't have any role to play. He does everything. He forces us to, you know, or puts us in particular places and moves us around the board to make sure things happen. And I think He does do some of that, but He asks us to a lot of times, go there, do this, do that.
That was part of His... Jesus Christ,
and
He gave the first fruit.
Yeah, and Jesus, when He was about ready to leave the earth, was talking to the disciples, and He was talking about sending the Holy Spirit after He left. And He called Him a paraclete, and that's one who comes alongside of us to help. So He's not necessarily going before us and doing
right.
it. He's beside
that's
of
right.
us.
Right.
I mean, He can lead us, He can prompt us,
right.
but we walk together. I mean, we got to take the steps,
that's right.
you know, that we need to take.
That's right.
Well, in Mark chapter 16, the last part of that was that the disciples, all these things they could do, it said they went out and God followed them, and, you know, the miracles and the things.
Exactly. That's right.
He probably followed them.
Yeah.
They saw them.
That's right. You know, faith without works is, you know, dead. As you go. Exactly. And so I really feel like this is something that's very critical. And I mean, think about it. How else do you get stretched? I mean, I'm not trying to diminish that. I think we've gone so far the other direction in feeling like God is, we have the sovereignty of God, and He... And of course, I believe in that. I'm not knocking. I'm just saying, but I think we've embraced that to a fault to some degree. And I hear a lot of Christians too. And forgive me for stepping into this a little bit, but so many I hear this so much where they say something like, "Well, Brad, how do you operate that way, but make sure God gets the glory?" I mean, and they're so worried about that they won't even step into it because they're afraid people might give them the credit. It's like, it's bizarre. I mean, I understand to some degree, but if you don't, I mean, I know speaking for myself, there's some things that have happened, and anybody that knows me, the things that took place, I can't take credit for. I mean, I couldn't have made this stuff up. I couldn't have produced it. I'm not that good. Nobody is. I mean, anybody that knows, that's why they're drawn to you, because it's not something that you own as a special gift, and you like Michael Jordan. It's something that's happening that nobody can explain. And it's and as a result, it is Him. It's the only reason why stuff's happening. But so anyway, I kind of want to bring that up too. As you begin to embrace this, and the Lord gives you specifics there, He's eager. Lord's eager to offer His awesome love to minister to you as well. And as you embrace healing in your own life, you'll see tremendous power in your effectiveness in ministry. It's a further unlocking of your ministry, and you'll stand in amazing wonder as you're set free in specific areas of your life and how it directly translates into additional ministry opportunities. I could tell so many stories about this, but one in particular, Soon to be three years ago, in my business, I've had the opportunity to purchase some of my competitors. I've some guys that are either retiring or getting out of the business or whatever, and they've come to me, and I've been very thankful to ask me, would you be willing to either buy me out or take over my friends and family or whatever? And so I've agreed. I've done this several times. 2009, and I'll try to make it brief, it was a guy that I used to work with when I first got in this business. Very intense person, kind of like we talked about, very blunt, didn't have a lot of friends and had a hard time retaining some of his friends because of the way he behaved. Very, very, very competitive. Long story short, we played basketball together, but we never really became good friends of any kind. Hadn't seen him in 10 years. 2008, I'm in Panera. I'm getting ready to leave. I see him at the cash register. And I say to myself, I really don't really want to talk to him. I mean, I haven't seen him in forever. We weren't really good friends anyway. I don't think he would even care if he saw me come and go. I'm walking out the door, and the Lord says, go back and talk to him. I'm like, oh. Okay, so I did. And we started talking, comparing war stories, because we're in the same business, about how bad the market was in L.A. Long story short, he says, I'm actually getting out of the business. And we started talking, and we started meeting for breakfast. A tremendous bond came to we just bonded so tremendously. And at the end of the day, even though there's another whole story to that, but at the end of the day, he wanted me to take over his practice. But the price he was asking was unreasonable. And as I'm going to the Lord saying, I can't do this. It's not possible to provide this kind of money for this kind of practice. The Lord said, I'll handle the money. I want him. So that's been a very interesting journey, but we've become very, very, very close. He's not a believer. And when we meet, we have very special time together. Things are advancing, but not coming as fast as I'd like to see them spiritual-wise. So anyway, long story short, I'm sitting there with him. We're having some appetizers 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which we never do. And my friend, who y'all have met, Jeff Phillips, comes walking in. And I'm like, what the heck is he doing here? It couldn't be a coincidence. So he comes by. I introduce my friend to him. And Jeff goes on because he's meeting somebody. And my friend says, something about that guy. There's something about him that tells me I need to be meeting with him. You couldn't make that up. The next week, we three met. And Jeff shared his testimony. For those that know it, you know, he didn't meet his biological father until he was 13, had 7 stepdads before he was 18. And in that meeting that we had, 3 of us together, in fact, I had to leave early. Jeff just kept going on. And this guy was completely enthralled. It's a neat story, and it confirms 2 Corinthians 1:3. This is the Message translation. He comes alongside us when we go through hard times, he said. And before you know it, he brings us alongside someone else who is going through hard times so that we can be there for that person just like God was there for us. So, and that's exactly what happened. Jeff was able to share his story of meeting his dad. And by the way, this guy's dad was killed when he was 2. So there's a lot of stuff still there. And anyway, I mean, it was amazing. I mean, it's just really amazing. Another quick story. Some of y'all may know, you know, Shannon, mom and dad, were married, had 2 girls, Shannon and Lauren. And then Shannon's mom and Don, she's married to today, got together. And Shannon's father and stepmother today got married. But they were 2 couples at one time, if y'all remember that story. Some of you do. Very unusual, very weird, and it's something that's been a problem, you know, for Shannon to think about trying to explain to people. How is this that you have 1 real sister, 3 stepsisters, 4 half-sisters? How does this whole thing work? And anyway, long story short, when Shannon was pregnant with Macy, we went to a birthing class, and we met a young lady there whose parents did the exact same thing. And Shannon and this girl couldn't believe in this, and Shannon was able to minister to her like nobody else had. I'm having to cut this a little bit short because I really want to spend at least 5 to 6 minutes on some activations. Did y'all have partners before? Okay. Different time. Yeah, a lot of people aren't here. So why don't we do, why don't we get Ray and Jay and Dole here, and we'll get Ricky and Elaine, y'all two. Okay? Let's go ahead and get together real quick. We don't have much time at all. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, right there. Oh, yeah. Okay, for sake of time, we're really gonna kind of dive into this, okay? But what I want you to do, the question is, based on what you heard today, how do you currently minister to people? Okay? Or how do you, and you may say, I don't know that I do. The question is, how do you currently minister based on what you heard today? What are some things that you do that you feel like that you're ministering using your unique personality? Give specifics, and then I want at the end to each one of you to pray for each other that your unique ministry would be even more understood and how to be used. Is that clear as mud? Can we say it again? So based on what you heard today, how do you currently minister? Give specifics. And then at the end, after you're done, I want you to pray for each other that other person's unique ministry would be even more understood. Okay? And because for sake of time, let's dive right into it. Okay, it's 12:01. We got 5 minutes.